Welcome to the Dentistry Speaks podcast, hosted by members of the Speaking Consulting Network. We interview leaders, meeting planners, and pioneers to help aspiring and seasoned dental speakers polish their skills and reach their potential.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast, brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. My name is Kevin Henry. I am honored to be the host of this podcast. I get to talk to so many great thought leaders out there, so many influential voices in the dental industry, and I'm so pleased to be joined today by Dr. Martin Mendelson. Hey, Dr. Mendelson, how are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful on this Friday morning that we happen to be recording. So how bad could I be?
You know, exactly. We're heading into the weekend. I get to talk to you. Life's good, my friend. And it was great to see you last week, again, as we're recording this, at the Speaking Consulting Network Annual Summit in Nashville. There's always such positivity and just such a good flow of information that comes out of that meeting, I think.
Absolutely. It was actually my first time, and I've known many members peripherally over the years, and I was really blown away by the level of abundance that everyone had in the meeting. And we were talking earlier about the follow-up and the follow-through has been exceptional from everybody at the meeting. Everybody did what they said they were going to do, and I'm really floored and proud to be a member.
That's awesome. Well, glad to have you on board, and I know I'll be seeing a lot more of you in the future. But for those of our listening audience who don't know you, don't know about you, would you mind just taking a moment to introduce yourself before we dive into the topic today?
Absolutely. So I am a dentist by training, so don't hold that against me. And I've had a bit of a different journey in dentistry. I was in practice for almost 10 years, became medically disabled, then started on a very different journey that had a bunch of different paths. I worked in a dental laboratory for several years, worked for Vita in North America for several years. And then I joined Spear Education almost 13 years ago, still associated with that wonderful and powerful institution as a member of the resident faculty. Yet I'm also a bit of a unicorn because about 8 years ago, I went on to a different path of executive coaching, team facilitation, happiness studies, emotional intelligence. And so what I do today is I take all of these things and I put it into a blender, combine it with my experience and some crazy life stories. And I work with teams to help drive transparency, engagement, alignment, and mindset. So that's what I do.
I like that team acronym right there. I like that a lot. Very cool.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, you know, one of the things that stood out when I was talking to you in Nashville, I was doing a little bit of research about you before this podcast, was that aspect of happiness, which I think leads into positivity. And I'm curious, whenever you're working with dental teams, do you find that the vast majority of them are positive before you come in there, or do they have to actually understand the positive things that are going on around them every day?
The answer is no.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to say to you, let's take the word dental out of it. And there's a very significant reason why I say that. People are people. Doctors are doctors, teams are teams. You know, everybody's people. And what drives us as individual humans is universal. And the answer is no. And what I do is I help to come in and get people to understand that there's a different way to look at things. It's not a toxic positive way of looking at things. That's a whole other topic for another time. You know, toxic positivity is always looking at the bright side, negating the negative, which is very destructive because happiness is a comparative emotion. What I do through exercises, through discussions, through storytelling, is to get people to understand that the way you're looking at the world is through your own filter, and you make a lot of assumptions about events. Because every single event in our lives, whether we like it or not, is neutral. And in the words of Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, who was a Holocaust survivor, neurologist, psychiatrist, there's a space between stimulus and response. And so as I was taught by Karen Sullivan and Jen Barley, there's this wonderful acronym called MSU, Making Stuff Up, or another word with an S you can think of. And so I get teams to understand that when something happens and you start down that mental road, am I MSUing right now? Or is that really what's going on? So I help them open up the aperture of communication to create that transparency so we can have engagement, so we can be aligned. That all starts with mindset.
I love the MSU thing. I'm gonna actually throw that out there a time or two, because one of the biggest battles that I have with my parents is the fact that they always jump to the worst case scenario. about so many things before there's anything really to worry about. And I've met a lot of people out there who do that exact same thing.
Yes. There's a really easy question that you can pose to yourself or anybody else, which is, how true is that really? And if the answer is, well, just because, well, no, how true is that really? What are we making or creating this conclusion based upon? And that can lead to a very interesting discussion at times, because eventually in some scenarios it's, well, that's just the way I feel. Well, but how is that fair to the other party if you're making assumptions based on feelings that are not supported by facts and mirroring your behavior based upon said feelings? So since you liked MSU, let me give you another Jen Barley and Karen Sullivan acronym called TFAR. Thoughts lead to feelings, actions, and results. And so everything that happens to us, we have a thought about that gives it power, that drives the feeling, that manifests the actions, that creates our results.
Okay.
And people are people. And this positivity stuff directly drives our bottom line, directly drives case acceptance in the dental world. And it's incredibly impactful and incredibly important.
And you know, one thing that you and I talked about right before we went on the air that I think is really important to bring up right now, I brought up the parents, and that's one end of the age spectrum. But let's talk about that other end of the age spectrum. And so many millennials are coming into the dental practice now as workers. This is this next generation coming in. And yet there's some things that I think you brought up that needs to be really discussed about millennials and how that positive view really kind of almost needs to be pulled out sometimes.
Yeah, I was on my phone last night just surfing around as we do, and I came upon some research, some true research, not Google research, around the effect of the pandemic on millennials' mental health. And it blew my mind. Basically, the research has shown that those 19 years old through their mid-20s, I think it was 19 through 26, I want to find this today and post about it on LinkedIn, have not recovered from a mental health perspective from the pandemic. Their rates of mental illness and particularly depression are at similar or the same levels as in the pandemic. And they specifically talk about the fact that, my words, they were blunted experientially to not have those times in life where, you know, going out and doing different things and experiencing different things with different people. And they got ripped out of that time in our lives where there's a lot of hope for the future, and everything became doom and gloom and, oh my God, the world's going to end tomorrow. And so it's blunted them. And so that got me thinking about the challenge that everybody's having in staffing. I went to the eye doctor this week, by the way, same story. And it made me wonder about this quote unquote millennial thing, because one of the things I love to say, especially to myself in the mirror every day, is people do the best they can with the skills they have at the time. Mm-hmm. So if we have this generation that's suffering through no fault of their own, at all, then what grace can we give to them? Not excuse, grace.
Right.
To then think about how we can potentially work with them differently to create a different end result. It blew my mind last night. Blew my mind.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that there are a lot of dentists out there that you mentioned the hiring crisis, and a lot of folks are wondering, where is this next generation working? What are they going to do? And so often when you bring them into a practice, you may not see eye to eye with them because of the generational gap or whatever it might be. So is it up to the doctor and the other team members to help bring something out of these new team members who might be a little bit younger and maybe have those blunted experiences like you mentioned?
That's a really interesting question. What I would say to you is this: the responsibility of the doctor as the owner and the team members is to, regardless of who's there, have a culture that is open enough that we can communicate in a transparent manner. Now, can everybody do that? Nope. Does everybody fit in every organization? Nope. Is that okay? Absolutely. So I love your question. And what I would say is the responsibility is to create an environment where we can transparently communicate or create psychological safety. That's a whole nother discussion. For those listening, look up Project Aristotle, something Google did back in 2012 that drove this concept of psychological safety, where people feel safe to bring up stuff within the practice. So I would say that's our responsibility.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work from that point, well, there isn't a lot we can do. But what I would also say to you is this, because I say this a lot to people. There is no question that people have had a challenge in hiring. There is no question that they've had a challenge in maintaining team members. Terrible stories, crazy stories, right?
Sure.
But here's the thing. Be very careful of assumption of another human being. Because let's flip the table here. Let's say you're looking to hire another assistant, another ops manager, whatever. And your mindset is, you know, everybody doesn't want to work. Nobody's reliable anymore. This person's probably not going to show up. They're not going to do well. They're not going to last more than 6 months. So let's flip the tables here, folks. Let's have that person sitting in your waiting room who's waiting to talk to you and be interviewed be told what you just thought in your head. How angry would they be, and how willing would they be to work, yes, for you?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to challenge everybody to flip the narrative. Respect that we've had a terrible experience. Respect that it hasn't been easy, but then look for the opportunities to move forward, which, by the way, is all about the science of positivity. It is not negating the negative. It is looking for what we can learn from a given situation, acknowledge the challenge that we had, and move forward from it, period.
And I love what you just said, that there can be challenges, and yet you can move forward from them in a positive manner. You know, so many times I think people have the challenges define who they are without thinking about the next step, because they're always stuck in what that is.
I have a very close friend that I met in my coaching program. His name is Sean Swarner. And he's become a pretty well-known individual. He's written a best-selling book. He was featured on an ESPN documentary. He had two independent cancers before he hit the age of 18. He has a PhD, and he did the statistical math. And the statistics are that the likelihood of him getting those two cancers and surviving, because the second one had a 94% mortality rate, is the same as winning the lottery four times in a row. That guy has gone on to climb Mount Everest with one functioning lung at every highest peak on the four continents and the two poles. And he doesn't go along on his life saying, woe is me. He goes on his life raising money for cancer research and helping other people with their own mindset, because he knows, as he has said to me, we all have our own Everest to climb. It just depends on what that is.
Mm.
And I think that's a really powerful message.
That's a very powerful thought, actually, because I know we each deal with things in different ways. We each have our different struggles that we may never tell people, you know, that we're dealing yep. with. And so I think what you said earlier about grace rather than excuses, I think that that's a really important and powerful thought as well.
I love that meme that we've seen for the last couple of years now about, it's like a line usually, and it says someone's life and how much you know about it. And it's like, you know, 1/16th of the length of the line. I love that. It just cracks me up. It's like, you know, so, it, you know, in the immortal words of Oprah Winfrey, everybody has a story. So,
and it's true. So last question to ask you as we wrap up here, I know that, you know, happiness, positivity, always, obviously that's a thought. It feels like since the pandemic, we've all been grasping for that, maybe a little bit more than we had in years past. Is there a key? Is there one thing that we can do to have that positive mindset or bring that happiness into the workplace every day?
Yes. Acknowledge that happiness isn't a destination. It's a journey. Yeah. So the analogy I use is that happiness is like a rainbow. It's beautiful. Everybody wants it. It seems elusive. Everybody thinks there's a pot at the end of the rainbow. And a rainbow is composed of its constituent parts, the colors of the rainbow. Happiness, as described by Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, who is a man who I earned my certification from, happiness is comprised of five elements that manifest a acronym of the word SPIRE: spiritual, physical, intellectual, relational, and emotional. Mm. And spiritual, by the way, doesn't need to be deity connected. That's about purpose and presence. But when I lecture on this, I usually get people to think about a really wonderful day they've had in the recent past. And then we learn about what the science of happiness is, what the elements of happiness is. We learn the elements of Spire, and then I get them to go back and realize that that wonderful day they had has most, if not all, of those elements. So what I'm going to say to you is this. Happiness is not a destination, it's a journey. Happiness is a comparative emotion. It is, the data is screamingly clear how our brains are more effective when we are in a positively primed state. And life can suck sometimes, and that's okay, because we've all survived 100% of our worst days, and our goal as adults is to navigate through that so we can come to the other side to see a different tomorrow.
I love it. And I think that there's, we could go on for hours about this topic. I have no doubt about it. I know you do in your lectures, you do in a lot of ways that you do with consulting as well. So let people know how they can learn more about you and maybe reach out to you if they've got questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody gave me a great piece of advice a long time ago. Keep everything your name. So my website is just my name. So it's martinmendelsohn.com. My email is martin@martinmendelsohn.com. I'm a pretty big LinkedIn user. As we record this, I'm about to hit 5,000 subscribers to my monthly newsletter.
Nice.
So I invite people to follow me on LinkedIn, take a look at my website, connect with me either through email or through the contact forms that are on my website, and I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I know I've got a little bit bigger smile on my face now than when we started, so thank you so much for the time, Dr. Nelson. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's been an honor, and really appreciate your time and everything that SCN is doing.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of you who listened to this episode. I hope you got something out of it. I have a feeling you did. And how we move forward and how we learn from each other is one of the things that I love about the Speaking Consulting Network and all the people that are part of that. You can learn more about them at speakingconsultingnetwork.com. And until next time here on the Dentistry Speaks podcast brought to you by SCN, this is Kevin Henry signing off and wishing you nothing but success ahead.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more, visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.